As I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The song that we played just before I came up here, I've been hearing that over and over again, song by Mercy Me, A Little Bit of Love Goes a Long Way. And in there, in that song, in the lyrics, it says, I've got a head full of headlines, a heart full of doubt. We need to change tomorrow right now. And if you turn on the headlines, if you look around in society, that is so true. We've got to change. And it takes a little bit of love, and a little bit of love goes a long way. But I think part of the problem we face as society, as individuals, we get so beat down by what we're hearing and seeing every day that we forget how to do that. We forget how to love. And here in the text for today, Jesus tells us. And so I want to take a little bit deeper look into that. Because I'm sure this scripture is something you've heard before, read before. I hope you have, if you've been in your Bible. But today I want to look at it in a brand new way. But before we can do that, there's something I want to point out. And maybe you caught this, maybe you didn't. How many times does it say, love one another in those two verses? Three. Close. Three times. Jesus says it three times, you are to love one another. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I believe that if we read something three times and Jesus puts it in there three times, it's something we better pay attention to because God doesn't stutter. If God says something three times, I'm thinking it's something we really, really need to get. Something that must be really important and they must be trying to get a message across. So, the first time Jesus says this, right? He says, love one another, a new command I give to you. The first time Jesus says this, he is using it as an exhortation. He's telling you that you are to love one another. Now, when I first read this, I was saying the same thing you probably have said. Well, what's so new about this? There was love in the Old Testament. I mean, in Deuteronomy 13, it says we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and our strength. So what's so new about this? What's so new about this is the command that Jesus gives it. You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of the love from the Old Testament. That love is expanded in the person of Jesus into the new. So when we see Jesus in that respect, love takes on a whole new meaning. So the first time Jesus says this, it's an exhortation. So the second time Jesus says, love one another, I see this as an example. Just as I have loved you. Look at my life and focus on it. And that becomes your clue on how you should love one another. Whenever you are trying to figure out a situation, when dealing with someone, look at me, look at my life, look at how I've dealt with people, the way I've loved the people, and that's the way that you should love them. Pretty simple, right? So we have exhortation, we have example. So the third time Jesus says love one another, the E word that kind of comes to my mind is evidence. So what Jesus says here is this, if you follow this command and do it the way I've done it, love people the way I have loved you, everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Well, as I went through this scripture more and more, there's two words in there that I think are just as powerful, if not more powerful, than love one another. And those words are just as. Just as I have loved you, Jesus says. Now, for some of us, this sounds kind of like a horizontal relationship, right? Just as I've received love from God, I have to extend that love to you. But when Jesus says, just as I have loved you, it has a vertical dimension. What Jesus is saying is, just as I've received love from my Father in heaven, then I've got to extend it out to you. right? He says, in return, all that love you've experienced me is something that comes from the Father above. So that then becomes more like an L, just as it comes down from God to Jesus and out to you. Now I'm going to pause right there. If you have kids, older kids, this sermon is brought to you by the letter L. If you've seen Sesame Street, you maybe get it. If not, it may be showing my age, or maybe I'm just going insane since the last time I've been here, with all which may be true. But I digress. But anyway, this becomes like an L. Just as I have loved you, love one another. And it all of a sudden, it becomes the just as principle. No matter what we've gone through with someone, God is calling us to a whole new level of living. What we need to tell people is, just as I've received love from God, I'm going to give that love to you. Now, you may be thinking, well, this is just something you're making up. How can it be? But if you pay attention when you're reading Scripture, you'll see I'm not making this just as principle up. As a matter of fact, once it was written in the Gospel of John, you can find it throughout the New Testament. So, to prove to you that I'm not making it up, I need to point out a few other Scriptures this morning, kind of act as a springboard. Maybe it's a follow-up sermon one day, I don't know. But I want to look at these. First of all, in Luke chapter 6, we know this as the Sermon on the Mount, and in verse 31, we know this kind of as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now that sounds more horizontal, doesn't it? It's like saying, I'm going to treat you based on the way I want to be treated. And, you know, so often we lift this verse up as that big prize, the way to live. However, it fails in comparison to the just as principle. And in verse 32 of Luke 6, Jesus says this, if you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that for you? For sinners do the same. If you lend to those whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And then get this, in verse 36, it says this, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So what that is saying here is that if you love your enemies, you will be rewarded. Wow. Love your enemies, do good to others, and be merciful to them, not based on the way they have treated you, not based on how they have offended you, not based on whatever they did behind your back, not based on how they stole from you. No, you see, God is calling us to a whole new way of living. And He says this, you need to love those on a whole new level. And when you do, they will experience that love that I've given you. Another Scripture example of the just as principle comes from 2 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all consolation, who consoles us in our time of affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in an affliction with the consolation with which we receive ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also are our consolation through Christ. A little confusing, but let me break that down. Are we to comfort other people the way we are being comforted? No. Not by them, just as. Even if we haven't been comforted by other people, we have been comforted by God. God sent the Comforter and the Holy Spirit so we would be comforted. Even if someone never calls us, never comes to visit, sent flowers or not, wrote a letter or not, God says, you know what, I was there for you, and if I was there for you, then you can be there for them, just as. Now I've got one more passage to back this just as principle up. It comes from Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So you're starting to see that theme that comes through the New Testament? Is it making any sense yet? We're supposed to love others how? Just as. We're how to comfort, how we comfort others? Just as. We're to be kind to others how? Just as. We do not base this on how others have loved us, comforted us, been kind to us. We are called to be all those things and extend all of those things just as God extended all of them to us. Now I'm going to admit, this is a very difficult principle to ask because you know what? I know a lot of unlovable people. How are we to love someone who's lied to us, cheated from us, stole from us, someone who doesn't respect us? It's simple. And Jesus tells us today, just as. But how do we get on board with that? How do we take that just as principle and apply it to our daily lives? Well, one of my favorite authors, his name's John Ortberg. Maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you've read some of his books. In his excellent book, Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them, he writes this. It's a good book. You should read it. In certain stores, you will find a section of merchandise available at greatly reduced prices. The tip-off is a particular tag you will see on the item in that area. Each tag carries the same words, as is. This is a euphemistic way of saying these are damaged goods. Sometimes they're called slightly irregular. The store is issuing you fair warning. This is the department of something's gone wrong. You're going to find a flaw here, a stain that won't come out, a zipper that won't zip, a button that won't butt. There will be a problem. These items are not normal. But we're not going to tell you where the flaw is. You'll have to look for it. But we know it's there. So when you find it, and you will find it, don't come whining and sniveling to us. Because there's a fundamental rule when dealing with merchandise in this corner of the store. No returns, no refunds, no exchanges. If you were looking for perfection, you walked down the wrong aisle. You've received fair warning. If you want this item, there's only one way to obtain it. You must take it as is. Well, he goes on in his book to say that when you deal with human beings, you've come to the as-is corner of the universe. Think for a moment about someone in your life. Maybe the person you know best. Maybe the person you're sitting next to today. That person is slightly irregular. That person comes with a little tag. There's a flaw here. A streak of deception, a cruel tongue, a passive spirit, an out of control temper. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but it's there. So when you find it, and you will find it, don't be surprised. If you want to enter into a relationship with this model, there's only one way, as is. If you were looking for perfection, you walked down the wrong aisle. Now, I don't know about you, but as is sounds a lot like just as. Where did Jesus find you when he entered into a relationship with you? Let me ask you that question. Maybe that's a better way to form that. Was it in the as-is section? I can't answer that for you. But I can take a guess because I can tell you where he found me. Yet with all of my flaws, with all of our flaws, with all of our streaks of deception, our cruel tongues, our passive spirits, our out-of-control tempers, guess what? Jesus entered into a relationship with us, accepted us, and loved us as is. So let me ask you this then. You've entered into a relationship with someone who is as is. Well, how do you love them then? Just as. You see, it's this just as kind of lifestyle that causes the world and And it runs so counter to the world, doesn't it? It causes the world to look differently at us. A few years ago, I was talking to a minister friend of mine who opened their church doors to these John Maxwell simulcasts that you have. You know, they invite church leaders from all around the country into these churches, and they show these things on video. And many business leaders from the community came and attended, and he said he sat in on some of it. And he said he was amazed at what he heard, because there were several successful business leaders from around the country who were talking and telling people some of the strategies and the way they do business and things. And this one leader, he said in particular, said something like this. He said, if someone sticks it to you in business, you stick it back to them. Get back at them. Let them have it. And I was so shocked to hear that. But at the same time, I wasn't surprised. But guess what? When these kind of people hear people like us say just as, they're going to respond and say, well, how can you be so kind and loving to someone who's so evil? How can you let them do that? How can you let them get away with saying those things? And all you have to do is say just as. Then, of course, they'll look at you and go, huh? And that's where it gives you an open door to share Jesus with them, just as. Whenever someone asks you, how can you do that? How can you say just as? The only answer you have to give is, because that's the way I received it from Jesus. So I'm going to extend that on to you. Now, I could probably go on for another 20 minutes or so, but I want to kind of tie this up together and get you out of here before Brian usually does. Just so he'll ask me, you'll ask me back, I guess. If we use this just as principle, we can change lives. Because it's something you don't see much of in society today, is it? Imagine this. Imagine if we started right here in Oak Ridge and then it began to spread. I believe that could change the world. And with the way things are in the world today, we need to start right now. So in closing, I want to share one more way that kind of ties this just as principle in to the sermon. Than what I'm trying to get across to you, because I think it's very important. And I think it's something maybe we've overlooked. Where did today's scripture come from? Anybody? John 13, right? Well, the beginning of this chapter, we know this is the Last Supper. And Jesus and his disciples, they're sitting around having a meal. But what makes this meal a spiritual moment, what sets the stage for the words that Jesus would speak to us later in this chapter, love one another just as I have loved you, is when Jesus gets up from that meal and he washes the disciples' feet. It was an act that would give them a clear understanding of what it meant to live a life of love in the way that they were supposed to do. So Jesus says, you want to know how to love one another? The way I did. I just washed your feet. You see, this act that he did was something that was unheard of in that day. Especially for someone in Jesus' position. It's an act that only the lowest of servants would ever perform. But yet, Jesus gets up, takes a towel, and bends down to wash the feet of his disciples. And I think about those who were there. There's a guy named Thomas. And Jesus comes to Thomas. And even though Jesus knew that Thomas would doubt his very resurrection, Jesus got down and he washed his feet. Who else was there? There was a guy named Peter. Peter, a guy that Jesus knew would deny him three times. And even though he knew that, he got down there to wash his feet. And Peter says to him, Lord, what are you doing? You can't wash my feet. You have to wash all of me. Jesus is like, look, we're not that close. Just shut up and let me wash your feet. But anyway, Jesus humbles himself and he kind of gets down there and he washes the feet of the man who would deny him three times. And then the hardest one of all, he comes to a man named Judas. And knowing that Judas was about to betray him, he still got down and he washed his feet. I read that and I'm like, man, I'm having trouble here, Lord. I need help. You're asking me to wash the feet of people who treat me like that? And Jesus is saying, no, I'm asking you to take that to a whole new level. I want you to do it even if you know that they're going to treat you that way. So my question is this, how many of us would say, even if I knew you were going to betray me, I would still wash your feet? Even if I knew you were going to steal from me, cheat from me, even though I know that you are not going to treat me the way I deserve to be treated, I'm going to suck it all up and I'm going to bend down and humble myself and wash your feet. That is a whole new level. And if Jesus is willing to wash the feet of Thomas and Peter and Judas, then I'm thinking we can surely bend down and wash the feet of the people who hurt us. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying we're going to get it right the first time. But I'm challenging us to leave here today. To leave here and go out and do and live just as Jesus did. So, I'm not really sure you're going to take much out of this sermon today. But if there's anything I ask you to take with you, it's just two words. Amen.